Welcome to the Morning Mix. This is the Project Center Show on Pacifica Radio. It's Friday, January 20th. I'm Mickey Huff with co-host Dr. Peter Phillips. Today we're joined by Abby Martin of Media Roots as she covers the actions of Occupy Wall Street West in San Francisco. We'll hear from Carl Patrick of Occupy Santa Rosa in Northern California. Also, real estate investor Ken Sutherland will talk to us about Wall Street firms' tax evasion. Steve Zeltzer of Workweek Radio will be at the bottom of the hour, and Steve will be joining us as a guest host for the hour this morning. And in the second part of the show, we'll talk to attorney and whistleblower Kathleen Carroll about the upcoming conference at Laney College in Oakland, California on the attacks on public education and privatization and their connection to the Occupy movement. Welcome to the Project Censored Show, the Morning Mix on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff in studio with Peter Phillips. Steve Zeltzer of Workweek Radio joins us today to help round out our program, which is on Occupy Wall Street West. We hope to be hearing from Abby Martin of Media Roots on the ground in San Francisco sometime this hour. The first segment of the program today, we will talk with Carl Patrick, who joins us by phone from Santa Rosa. He is one of the members of Occupy Santa Rosa in Northern California. We're also joined by Ken Sutherland, a real estate investor in studio. And we're going to start with Ken Sutherland, who's done quite a bit of extensive research on how Wall Street firms avoid paying taxes. And the general frame that Ken Sutherland has been looking at is looking at the austerity measures that we're faced with and the notion that we keep hearing from these powers that be, government officials, financial authorities, and so forth, that we're broke and that we have to tighten our belts and these types of things. Ken Sutherland says that we're not broke. Ken, could you talk to us a little bit about what you mean by that statement and what your analysis has been specifically?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me here. This project that I got involved with was about 6 years ago. The tipping point was when Gene Ross, Steve Levy, and Lenny Goldberg of various projects had a lecture, and the title of the lecture was, "Are the Cities and the Counties and Is the State of California Broke?" And this was right after Schwarzenegger got into office, and of course his first effort was to repeal the automobile tax. So I started listening to this lecture and started writing some notes and lecture and notes, and I wrote a note to myself. I said, "Where is the money in the richest country in the world?" And I had my weekend Financial Times with me, and I happened to open it up to the pages that had probably 15 to 20,000 different traded items on the list. And I'm looking at this list, and it just suddenly dawns on me within like a half an hour that all these transactions are traded, and there is not one billionth of a googleth of a penny in transfer taxes that accrue to these transactions. The big transactions are stocks, bonds, currency, commodities, and derivatives. And on a 365-day panel of its program, the volume and base of this is about $5,000 trillion in mass value, not one penny of which is taxed. If we did it at 1%, we would have roughly we'd have $50 trillion of public funds to the public good that would be in addition to the $8 trillion we have in government funding also. If we did it at a quarter of 1%, which is 12.5 basis points by the buy, 12.5 basis points by the seller, we'd have $13 trillion, almost equal to the entire GDP of the U.S.
Only half of what the Federal Reserve apparently was doling out, according to Bloomberg.
Yes, exactly. So if you go to the list of the Financial Times, it reads like something out of, I would call, hustler financial derivatives. You start off with stocks, bonds, derivatives, currencies, options, hedge, insurance to insurance, funds to funds, collateralized debt obligations, reinsurance tri-party agreements, credit debt swaps, auction rate transactions, tri-party repo market instruments, TIPS, T-I-P-S, and EFTS. These are all a short list of financial transactions that are traded, many of which are traded privately and secretly below the screen. In fact, it was our ex-Vice President Dan Quayle who put together a hedge fund who actually bought put together approximately $600 million, and they bet that the federal government, that General Motors would file for bankruptcy. And if they did file for bankruptcy, Dan Quayle's group would make $4 billion for about an 18-month transaction. What happened? The federal government, General Motors filed bankruptcy. The federal government bailed him out, and Dan Quayle and his boys got $4 billion plus or minus.
Yeah, and as Greg Palast at the BBC has stated, this is why people occupy. These are some of the financial statistics and reasons behind why there are these Occupy protests going on, including the major Occupy protests in San Francisco and on the West Coast here today.
Right. If you go over just a broad list of transactions that are taxed, first of all, Social Security is not a tax. It's an investment in the future. And Medicare is also, they're like investment annuities, but they're not taxes. But if you go over the general list, you got sales taxes of all kinds. You go into a Walmart, and there's 63,000 SKUs in a Walmart store, most of which are taxed at sales tax rates. Then you got liquor taxes, you got tobacco taxes, you got fines and tickets, you got licenses, permits, ad valorem taxes on real estate, you got redevelopment agency, a special assessment tax, you got real estate transfer taxes, gross receipts taxes, income taxes, individual and corporate, capital gains taxes, unemployment taxes, inheritance taxes, environmental fees and taxes, government leases and taxes, transportation.
Ken, it sounds like what you're saying is everybody gets taxed except Wall Street.
On this list, there's 24 items. The last item is Wall Street. No city, no county, no state, no federal.
So we're talking Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Capital Investment, all targets today at the Occupied Wall Street West for protest.
I prefer to use the word government Sachs, but I'll go with Goldman Sachs.
And what you're saying is that there's potentially trillions of dollars of less than a 1% tax on transactions that would be available to the U.S., the world, literally, in terms of human betterment. And so that's where we're headed. I think we have somebody on the line from...
Well, we have Carl Patrick on the line from Santa Rosa. Carl, are you with us?
Yeah, hey, I'm here.
Hey, Carl, good to hear from you. Carl is one of the organizers in the Santa Rosa Occupy group, and a few weeks back you were at a major demonstration against Wells Fargo, and combined that demonstration with immigrant rights issues. Tell us about that and what's happening, what happened there then, and what you think about what's happening today in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, on January 6th, we, as many listeners may have heard about, we had a march in Santa Rosa against Wells Fargo. The primary reasons we were organizing it was not only because Wells Fargo is, you know, one of the big four Wall Street banks, and because of their record of, you know, corruption and home foreclosures and all of that and their role in the financial crisis, but also because something that's much less known is that they're a major investor, or they have a lot of money tied up in two of the largest private for-profit prison companies, which primarily lock up undocumented immigrants awaiting deportation. It's sort of complicated because they're not a direct investor. It's not actually their money. They argue that they're actually just a trustee of a fund that invests in the company. But one way or the other, they're profiting greatly and facilitating the funding of to the tune of, you know, billions of dollars of these two large private prison industries. So that's why we had the protest. So we teamed up with a lot of the local immigrants rights organizations, the Great and Day Labor Center, the Committee for Immigrants Rights, MECHA, and the Dream Alliance, which are youth-led immigrant organizations, Chicano organizations. It was great turnout. We had about 500 people, and there was also some civil disobedience that took place. Seven people were arrested inside two different Wells Fargo branches in Santa Rosa, which were both shut down for the rest of the day. So we nonviolently shut down two of the branches there. There was no conflict with the police, but seven people were arrested. And
well,
going
Carl,
to court next week.
This is Steve Zeltzer. One of the reasons that you are targeting Wells Fargo, one of the many billion-dollar banks in California, is they apparently don't pay any taxes under state laws. They're not able to tax in California. Isn't that interesting that these billion-dollar operations have no taxes in California?
Yeah, well, and that's, I think that's one of our main messages, and what we're trying to organize around is that, you know, this is, you know, it's whether you like it or not, this is class warfare. This is one class of people who have rigged the system in for their own benefit, and Wells Fargo is very much a part of that. And, you know, even if they stop foreclosing on people's homes, and even if they stop funding these private prisons, the fact of the matter is they're still, you know, making tens of millions of dollars. You know, they're paying their tellers $10 an hour, and they're robbing our communities, and they're not paying taxes, and that's why we're facing these budget cuts, and that's why working people are suffering. So it's, you know, it's class warfare, and the Occupy movement has to stand up, and we got to defend ourselves. That's what we're doing. We're defending ourselves against, you know, the attacks of the rich against our community, and that's, you know, that's why we're out there.
Carl, it sounds like Santa Rosa's been very engaged. Today in San Francisco, there are demonstrations all day. And start even right now. There was an interesting one outside of Goldman Sachs. It's called Squidding. And in 2009, Matt Taibbi from the Rolling reporter in Rolling Stone referred to Goldman Sachs as a giant vampire squid wrapped around the face of humanity, relentlessly jamming its blood funnel into anything that smells like money. So Code Pink is actually unveiling a giant squid monster today, this morning, in front of Goldman Sachs. And so the symbolism, this activity that's going on in San Francisco right now is happening in on Main Street across the country, is something that you've been engaged in. Where do you think this is going, and what do you want to see happen, Carl?
Well, you know, we have a lot of our folks down there today. You know, I'm really glad we're getting the chance to talk a little bit about Santa Rosa on KPFA, because I feel like, as far as I know, outside of the main major cities, at least in California, Santa Rosa has probably one of the biggest Occupy groups. And so, you know, we want to recognize that, you know, we're around doing our own thing, but we're also doing our best to support you know, the actions in the cities. I think that's been really important. We had a lot of folks turn out to the port shutdown in Oakland and the general strike. And I know we have a lot of folks down there today in the city. And so I think one of the roles, you know, we can play, the kind of the suburban or the more rural small town occupations, is to, you know, really build up their capacity to support the big actions in the cities, because, you know, I mean, San Francisco is, you know, major financial center, Oakland in the ports, you know, major financial center, and that's where we need to hit. That's where we need to target. I'm really glad we have our small town occupies, and we've been really going strong throughout the winter. But, you know, I think it's really important for all of us to team up and get united, even if we don't have the same demands, even if we don't have the same, you know, demographics in our occupies. It's really important to come together and support the actions in the cities right now, especially one like today. It's really great. I think it's a really good strategic action. It's a great target. I think we need to do more of that, really targeting the rich and not getting too caught up in, you know, necessarily the encampments and fighting the cities over our right to camp, but really focus our message on the rich and what they're doing to our communities, because that's where we have popular support, and really try to, like, start to make some concrete improvements in our lives and working people's lives. I think especially is going to be really key. Keep the energy up.
And we're talking with Carl Patrick, one of the organizers of Occupy Wall Street in Santa Rosa. We also heard from Ken Sutherland, investor, real estate investor, about Wall Street tax evasion. This is Project Censored Show in the Morning Mix. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. You can also go online, OccupyWallStreetWest.org, I believe is the site. There is a long list of actions going on, beginning at 6 a.m. today all the way through the end of the day. The list on the website goes through 5 o'clock, but these include events happening all throughout the San Francisco Bay Area. So anyone that is interested can go online and look at Occupy Wall Street West and look at the action schedule for today.
Carl calls this an actions of class warfare. And in a sense, when we look at Occupied Wall Street and some of the demands, we're trying to just end corporate personhood. Corporations are not people. Money is not free speech. So we're wanting to end corporate involvement in our politics, expose how Wall Street operates in our midst, attacking our communities, homes, and livelihood, our education, environment, democracy, and health. And to stop banks from foreclosing on our neighbors and evicting them from their homes for profit, to contribute to ongoing community fights, to build a mobilized democratic, broad-based, strategic mass movement that really addresses these issues of inequality in our society. Ken, tell us more about what could happen if we could tax these huge...
Well, it would be a largesse of public funds that could be used for health care, education, infrastructure. You could even help out in the tragic situation with PG&E's antiquated gas lines, which are collapsing as we are talking right now. I was just down at a building in Oakland, and a 3-foot diameter pipe had to be emergency quickly replaced. They were 24 hours, and they had to replace it in 72 hours. There was like 75 people fixing it. Otherwise, it would have exploded just like the one in San Bruno. So, but the other parallel to this STET tax, or this security transaction excise tax, or a Tobin tax, if you look at the marginal tax rates from 1942 to 1980, I say repeal the Reagan tax cuts and repeal the Bush tax cuts. During that period of time, we were the strongest. From 1942 to 1980, the income rates ranged from a high of 94% to a low of 70%. In fact, FDR proposed that for every dollar over $25,000 in 1937, be taxed 100%. The Republicans wouldn't go for it, but they said, we'll give you 94%. So the Republicans approved a 94% marginal income tax rates for individuals and corporations. And I say we go back there.
I believe we have a live update or report from Abby Martin of Media Roots. Is that correct? Abby, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Abby, tell us what's going on. You're at the Wells Fargo corporate headquarters in San Francisco?
Yep, 420 Montgomery Street. There's high energy chanting going on. People have blocked the loading dock. People are forming a human chain around the loading dock, and there's chanting going on. There's lines of cops all around us, and we have Steph here, who's the press representative for the group, and she just wanted to talk about the action a little bit going on.
So I'm here with a group of people, and we are shutting down Wells Fargo today in protest of their investment in private immigrant detention centers and private prisons, and in protest of their investment in racist and unjust legislation like Arizona's SB 1070. We're here to demand that they stop selling our homes and dividing families, and that they modify student loans, and that they pay their fair share in taxes.
Yeah, wow, we're here right now. There's actions going on all day long. So the Occupy Wall Street movement's not dead. It's just re-energizing in different forms. I mean, this is amazing. There's mass actions going on all day long, all across the city. So it's just really great to see people out here. I mean, we're not standing down. We're going to keep moving forward with this. You know, we're just going to stay back and just re-energize and get stronger.
And this is the voice of Abby Martin of Media Roots. Abby is live in San Francisco at the Wells Fargo headquarters. Abby, what's the crowd look like there?
There's about 40 people on this side. I just walked around the perimeter of the building. There's about 50 people on the other side. And I think that there's about 50 people also at the plaza. So right now, if people want to join up, Justin Herman Plaza, that's going to be the place where people are going to be joining up all day, communicating about the actions. And you can go to theoccupywallstreetwest.org to find out the whole schedule of all the actions going on today. Come out and join us, you guys. There's stuff going on all day, and just try to fit some time in your schedule to come out and show solidarity.
That's right. There are people now outside of the Bechtel building in San Francisco, the Wells Fargo corporate headquarters, Bank of America, at Justin Herman Plaza, also now renamed Bradley Manning Plaza by people in the Occupy movement from the WikiLeaks actions. We're talking with Abby Martin live in San Francisco. Abby, we'll be checking back in with you shortly, so thank you for being there, and thank you for reporting in. Again, we'll be hearing from you later on in the program. Steve Zeltzer.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think let's talk about Bechtel, for example. One of the board of directors, George Schultz, was with the Committee to Free Iraq, Now, this committee was the one that was actually pushing for U.S. to invade Iraq. And who benefited from the invasion of Iraq? George Shultz and Bechtel Corporation. So you have these corporations like the Bechtel, which are basically running the government and running wars all over the world. They've also been involved in the nuclear industry. One thing that our audience should be aware of is that the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission has now approved a new nuclear plant, which will be put into place. And that President Obama wants to spend billions of dollars, tax dollars, subsidizing the nuclear industry. Now, one of the effects that this has, which is very dangerous for the people of the world, is now the Japanese government, following on the U.S. government's acceptance of extension of time for plants. They want to extend the time of plants to 40 years. Now there's 20 years, are saying they need to build more plants in Japan, more nuclear plants. Now, this is after Fukushima, which has been off the news. You wouldn't know that the radiation contamination is continuing in Fukushima because of the corporate control of the media. This is what we're facing. We're facing a corporatized media that really prevents people from knowing what is going on right in front of their faces.
KPFA is covering these events all day today. So some people from the newsroom are down there. Abby Martin's live with us, and we'll be back with her later in our program today. At noon, they're going to do Occupy the Courts, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals at 95 7th Street between Market and Mission. And this will be in to end the awful Citizens United decision and propose amendment to outlaw corporate personhood. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, protest war protesters at the Bechtel headquarters will be going on at 50 Beale Street. Iraq Veterans Against the War, Code Pink, Global Exchange are all going to be out there talking about Bechtel doing a teach-in in front of their headquarters. So this is ongoing. It's a rainy day, yet people are still out. This is not... This is certainly encouraging in that respect.
And also at 3 p.m. today, students, teachers are going to be converging on the California State Building on Golden Gate Avenue to protest Governor Brown's budget. And we just learned that included in his budget is not only a tax increase for working people, but that this is going to be funneled toward charter schools. Now, I was going to mention later in the program, but... Governor Brown's wife happens to have been the former chief counsel of the Gap Corporation. And would you know it, the Gap Corporation owns or controls the family, the Fisher family, the Kip Foundation, which is a for-profit charter, gets federal funding. Her name is Ann Gust Brown. So here you have a situation in which Brown is actually going to tax people, regressive tax, to funnel to the private charters.
That's right, and we're going to get into that in the second part of the program today with Steve Zeltzer. We're going to be talking with Kathleen Carroll about that very issue. We're going to go right now to our weekly labor report. Ken Sutherland, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. You guys are fabulous.
Thank you as well.
Carl Patrick,
fabulous.
Thanks so much for joining us. We'll certainly be back in touch with you and the actions in Santa Rosa. And right now we have the Labor Report with Steve Zeltzer.
As we come marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand mill lofts gray, or touched with all that a sudden sun discloses, for the people hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses. As we come marching, marching, we battle too for men, for they are women's children. From birth until life closes, hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses.
The war on blacks and our post offices. One of the connections not made on the anniversary of Martin Luther King's birthday was the war on public workers, and particularly black workers in the United States. The battle for equality and the right to public jobs are integrally tied together. In the past, many public worker jobs were off limits to blacks with blatant discrimination in the workplace. The fight for civil rights in this country was also a fight to get jobs in the post office and other public sector jobs with union rights as well. Martin Luther King was murdered as he fought for AFSCME sanitation workers in Memphis, Tennessee, who were seeking justice and human rights on the job. The battle to a union public job has been a very important struggle for human rights. A recent U.S. Department of Labor statistics report is that one in five black workers have public sector jobs, and African Americans are one-third more likely than whites to be employed in the public sector, especially in large urban centers such as Hampton Roads, Richmond, Washington, D.C., New York, or Chicago. The mostly white-controlled corporate board of directors of the post office now want to lay off 120,000 workers, supposedly to make the post office more efficient and profitable. Part of this supposed drive for efficiency is to privatize and send the work to non-union FedEx and the UPS Corporation. In fact, the post office already delivers some of its mail through FedEx. Benjamin Franklin was one of the founders of the U.S. Post Office, but the ongoing drive to destroy it is going full blast. The people who will pay for this is not only the public who need the post office, but the many thousands of black workers who have raised families and been able to build a stable working class life, giving service to the community and the public. The attack by both the Democrats and Republicans in Congress, including the president, against public workers, and particularly the post office, must be looked at in this context. These jobs and the public services are a critical resource and need to be defended. The sell-off of the post office is already going on, as WPA-built post offices with murals and art are being auctioned off to the highest bidder. This is a destruction of our heritage. The war against postal workers is not only the drive to lay off these workers, but the continued harassment and attacks on postal workers. The term going postal came about because of the militarized conditions the workers face. There have been going postal incidents not only in the Midwest, but in San Francisco, where postal workers have been harassed by a management intent on driving workers out of their jobs. It is time for all working people to stand up and demand that the post office be defended and postal workers keep their jobs. Privatization will harm the workers and the public, and in a time of devastating unemployment in the black community. This is another assault on decent jobs in the community. This is Steve Zeltzer for Workweek Radio, and now we go to the calendar.
This is the Workweek calendar for the week of January 20th, 2012. Today, Friday, there will be a day of action in San Francisco against Wall Street and the Union Busters. At 12:30 p.m., there will be a labor community picket against ICE for terrorizing workers and their families. This will take place at 6:30 Sansome Street. Later in the day, there will be pickets and rallies held against Verizon, which is fighting the CWA and IBEW workers without a contract. There will also be a picket against the Itochu Company, which is seeking to break the ILWU West Coast contract through its partnership with EGT in Longview, Washington. Also at 3 p.m., there will be a rally and occupation by teachers and students against Governor Brown's budget cuts in education. This will take place at the California State Building at 455 Golden Gate Avenue. The Hyatt Regency will also be picketed in San Francisco at 4:15 p.m. Hyatt and Penny Pritzker, who is a major financial supporter for Obama, is retaliating against union members and fighting unionization around the country. For more information on the details, visit OccupyWallStreetWest.org. On Saturday, January 21st, there will be a memorial for San Francisco Labor Council Secretary Treasurer Walter Johnson, who passed away this month. The memorial will be at Grace Cathedral at 1 p.m. with a reception following. Grace Cathedral is located at 1100 California Street in San Francisco. Walter Johnson was a longtime leader of the San Francisco Labor Council and participated in many picket lines and struggles for labor. For more information, call 415-440-4809. On Sunday, January 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., there will be the first ever conference held on the attack on public education and privatization. It will be held at Laney College Theater in Oakland. It'll look at the corporatization and corruption by privatizers in California public education. The Gates Foundation, Broad Foundation, and Kipp Foundation, controlled by the Fisher family, which owns The Gap, are using their charter schools as profit centers and are closing public schools while opening private charter schools funded by the public. Speakers and panelists will include UC Berkeley geographer and historian Gray Brecken, Fired Commission on Teacher Credentials whistleblower and lawyer Kathleen Carroll, as well as teachers, parents, students, and musicians, including Andrew Knight of the Angry Tired Teachers. For more information, visit upwa.info. Picketing also continues for the locked-out Unite Here Local 2850 Castlewood Country Club workers. Membership to the club's millionaires costs over $10,000, but the 61 cooks, servers, dishwashers, bartenders, and janitors were told that they have to pay health care for their dependents. They have been locked out for more than 692 days. You can join their picket lines at the golf course and in Pleasanton during this week. For more information, visit endthelockout.org. If you want your event on the Workweek calendar, email info@workweekradio.org. This is Erica Lucarati for Workweek Radio.
For the rising of the women means the rising of the race.
Welcome back to the Project Censored Show in the Morning Mix, Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff in studio with Peter Phillips and Steve Zeltzer. The second part of the show here today are going to be speaking with attorney and whistleblower Kathleen Carroll. We'll also be talking about the upcoming conference at Laney College in Oakland that you just heard about in the labor announcements, and you can find more information about that conference at UPWA.info. That's the attack on public education and privatization. And this part of the show, we're really connecting the Occupy movement with what's happening in education. Those folks that listen on Fridays regularly know that Peter Phillips and I are educators, and we have covered the education issues and the budget cuts pretty extensively. We're also speaking at this conference at Laney College in Oakland on the framing and the propaganda and the control of the message and the top-down message of education. So, again, that's this Sunday, 10 a.m. at Laney Theater at Laney College, 900 Fallon Street in Oakland, California. So we're joined right now by Kathleen Carroll. Kathleen, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Steve.
Well, thank you for joining us, Kathleen. I want to start off the morning by letting the audience know that yesterday the UC Regents had a meeting in Riverside and again attacked the students, peaceful students and professors and faculty, UAW members, other union people, with rubber bullets or bullets and beat them, the peaceful protesters. And also in the San Francisco Chronicle this morning, we hear that Susan Desmond Hellman, who is the chancellor at the University of California in San Francisco, says that they're tired of being part of UC. The UCSF, where she's chancellor, they want to have the shackles off so they can become an independent university. And it turns out that she's a druggie. She represents the drug companies, which have now a deep roots at the University of California, and they want to use the university, which they're using, as a profit center for the drug industry. And we're going to have a little bit of that later, on about the corporatization of the university. But, Kathleen, why don't you introduce yourself? You were a lawyer, a state attorney, with the Commission on Teacher Credentials, and you had some very bad experiences at the commission. What was going on there?
Yes, I was one of the attorneys that worked for the Commission on Teacher Credentialing, and I started in 2006 until I was literally hauled out of there in the middle of a state audit, which I was behind. I reported a number of acts of wrongdoing. There were statutory violations. They were violating due process rights of teachers. They were carving out policies, giving themselves more authority than what the law allows. The majority of the bad actors, as I saw it, was the attorneys. There was 5 attorneys that work for the agency. It's a small agency. It's funded by teacher money. The teachers who submit fees for their applications, their renewal fees, and exams that they have to take to get their certification documents, this is basically what funds the agency. And they were using the money to turn around and attack teachers. It was very sad.
And one of the things you discovered was that there was a backlog of hundreds of thousands of teachers who were trying to get their credentials. And if this commission would not allow them to be credentialed, what happened to these teachers?
Well, if they don't get credentials, they are not going to get positions, obviously, and it's a huge loss to them. And none of these people have gone through extensive training, so they most likely have student debt, and they have earned their certification document, and so they're not going to be able to get jobs in public education. Now, they may be able to get jobs in private industry or private schools or charter schools, which some of which don't require credentials, but they're not going to be able to serve in the public school system, which serves over 95% of the student population.
And that's the voice of Kathleen Carroll, attorney and whistleblower. She'll be speaking at Laney College in Oakland, California. Steve Zeltzer, of course, one of the organizers, will also be there. I'll be there with colleague at Diablo Valley College, Adam Bessie. We're also going to, Kathleen, we're going to be joined here again momentarily by Abby Martin of Media Roots. She is on the ground live at the Occupy protests. And, of course, we are connecting these issues. We're connecting the dots. The role of journalism is to connect the dots. And as George Seldes said, to tell the people what's really going on. And Abby Martin, are you there on the ground in San Francisco to tell us what's really going on?
Yeah, you know, there's actually hundreds of people surrounding the entire financial district now that I've been walking around. It's way bigger than I even imagined before. So we're sitting right now. There's a human chain. We're completely chained up in front of the Wells Fargo, and we have a woman here who wants to tell her story about why she's here and why she's blocking the entrance. So one second.
Hi, this is Donna, and the reason why I'm here is pure simple and when the injustice becomes the law and the resistance is a duty, I'm exercising my duty to protect our American dream and to protect our rights. Regulators right now is not regulating, and judges are not upholding the law. And someone has to stand up. And if regulators are not exercising their duty, and we will do the job for them. And today we want to highlight the fact that we will sit here and tell police to put us in jail. And we did nothing wrong. They can put us in jail. Why can they look at the facts, look at the people's suffering, and look at the fraud the big banks committed, like Wells Fargo, like BFA, like Chase? Why can they look at the facts and do the investigation, do the civil and criminal prosecution, make them hold them accountable? 2008 housing crisis is unprecedented in American history, and financial institutions meltdown. How can we restore the integrity of the banking system? How can we give people hope that we American dream will be sustainable? And everybody worked hard, and why should we make a choice either to put food on the table or to pay for the mortgage loan so John Stump in Wells Fargo can make $17 million as a bonus?
We just heard from
Donna Vieira.
Donna Vieira, and I was actually holding the phone up to her ear because her arms are chained right now. And that's, you know, this isn't the only action going on right now. There's guerrilla theater on the streets. There's people dancing. There's subwoofers. We're just having fun right now because, you know, yeah, there's a two-tiered justice system going on, and corporations aren't held accountable to the same laws that we are. But you got to have fun because that's, you know, revolution is exciting, and it's organic, and it's just a really cool thing to be a part of. So I encourage everyone to get down here and really participate in today's actions.
Hey, Abby. This is Peter Phillips. What's amazing to me is that we have not only all the general assemblies from the occupied groups at San Francisco State, San Francisco, all over the area. We have the San Francisco Housing Coalition groups. We have the Progressive Worker Alliance groups, Filipino Community Center, La Raza Central Legal, dozens and dozens of different groups, Jobs for Justice, the Labor Council from San Francisco, Nurses Association, Pride at Work, Code Pink, Rainforest. So you're seeing this evolving there in the streets right now.
Oh, yeah. There's a coalescence of every walk of life. I mean, crossing all political platforms right now, because really we are the 99%. I mean, this is a movement for justice. This is a movement for truth, accountability, and it really crosses all walks of life across all political spectrums. And that's why everyone is coming together and really standing up.
That's the voice of Abby Martin of Media Roots on the ground live in San Francisco. Abby, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We may try to get back with you before the end of the show. We've got about 10 more minutes left. We want to go back right now to attorney and whistleblower Kathleen Carroll. One of the issues behind the Occupy movement, of course, is occupying public education, reclaiming public education as a right of people in a free society. And, you know, one of the major problems on the horizon, or calamities on the horizon, the next financial bubble to burst, if you will, is the $1 trillion mortgage on the minds of the nation's youth for education, for student loans. And we want to come back to Kathleen Carroll here and talk to us a little bit more about the corruption that you witnessed during your tenure.
Oh, my God, it's so much. I mean, it's not just what I witnessed while I was there. It's even after I left, I have been doing quite extensive research. I have been contacted by a number of teachers, administrators, education scholars, and I've really come to the conclusion they are purposely defunding public education, these entrepreneurs, these big corporate interests, in order to basically create a cash cow for Wall Street. I mean, they're literally siphoning off tax dollars and giving them to charter school management organizations, online schooling companies, and then they're, you know, crying, well, we have a budget crisis. We have a budget crisis because all the money is being given to the profiteers who are, you know, basically advocating through lobbyists to state legislatures, local officials, you know, U.S. Government officials. And when you talk about education, it is a fundamental right. It's not just something speculative. There's a California Supreme Court case on this, Serrano versus Priest, and in our state constitution, an equitable funding of education and California education is a fundamental right. It's not just some idea. We all are entitled, K through 12 and anyone outside of K through 12 higher ed, we are entitled to equitable and quality education as a fundamental right.
Well, Kathleen, one of the things that you discovered when you were fired for being a whistleblower is that many of these government officials, and I'll name some of them, apparently, while they're government officials, are also lobbyists, paid lobbyists by charter agencies. And one of the ones that came up recently who is familiar to people in Alameda County is Sheila Jordan, who's the superintendent of instruction of Alameda County. What did you learn about Sheila and other people who are supposed to be voting on money for public education?
Well, I have so much in my head right now. Sheila Jordan, I believe, is the superintendent for Alameda County Office of Ed. What I have learned is a number of people have contracted lobby firms. So this purposeful defunding, part of it has gone, these school districts and superintendents and school board members have hired high-paid consultants and lobby firms such as K Street Consulting. And Sheila Jordan has contracted with K Street Consulting. So has Oakland Unified, San Francisco Unified. And the problem with that is K Street Consulting has clients in the Wall Street industry. They have clients such as Core Education and Consulting Solutions, big Wall Street clients, and there's a conflict between lobby firms' clients and publishing companies and, you know, and public officials. That some elected officials, and Sheila Jordan, I don't believe, is a lobbyist herself, but some elected officials actually serve as elected members of school boards. And that, I mean, how that is allowed is beyond me. That's just a conflict. There needs to be a serious investigation into all the conflicts of interest involved in these lobby firms, nonprofits, elected school board members, County Office of Education members, and the various entities involved in public education, because what I have seen has blown my mind.
And also, we learned this morning that Apple wants to dump the books in the schools.
Yes, I have a lot to say on that.
Computers.
Yes, I have a lot to say on that. There was a lot of advertising about these free iPads to displace textbooks. What isn't being said about this is how harmful it will be to low-income individuals and individuals who cannot afford internet services at home. So they're not going to be able. They can bring their little iPad home, but what are they going to do to study for their homework and do their homework assignment? Libraries close at a certain hour, so it's going to be an imbalance of services to those who can't afford internet services, and there are many. Also, it doesn't talk about the infrastructure and training and resources in addition to the iPad, so the cost is probably going to be far outweighed. This is just another tactic to push push the online high-tech private sector industry into utilizing and taxpayer money, and they're talking about $500 million, by the way, into their little cash cow that they already have going. This is going to actually have a negative impact on a number of students who do not have the ability to have online services at home. And there are millions and millions of students that don't have that ability. So there's going to be an imbalance, not to mention the cost. The iPad itself may cost $400, but there's also the cost of the infrastructure and the training and the resources that is going to have to be provided. And they're not, and Apple's of course not talking about all the apps that they're going to, that the school districts are probably going to have to pay for every time they want something else to go online.
And again, this is, as Matt Taibbi talked about Goldman Sachs, this is yet another example of the top-down evisceration of our society. Again, the quote, which is worth repeating, that Peter Phillips read earlier, Goldman Sachs, the rest of these firms, Apple, as you're talking right now, is another manifestation of the great vampire squid wrapped around the face of humanity, relentlessly jamming its blood funnel into anything that smells like money.
Absolutely.
That's Matt Taibbi, and that's what you're basically saying here, Kathleen Carroll.
Absolutely.
Abby Martin, you're still with us on the streets of San Francisco. What's going on?
Yeah. California and Montgomery now, I'm now at Bank of America, and they just successfully shut it down. So there's a human chain in front of a Bank of America.
Woo.
No one's inside. It's great. So there's about 100 people standing outside, marching, chanting. They're doing a human mic right now. I'm going to step back and get someone to talk about why they're here right now. Why are you here right now?
I'm here because I want a world where everybody has a living wage. We have a clean environment. We don't do these wars anymore. We stop atom bombs. We just have a nice, nice, peaceful world, and everybody loves each other. And everybody gets what they need and want. If the rich guys can take money out of garbage cans, we should have garbage cans on the street where we can go and get money.
And that's just the voice of one man who's here in this action right now. One second, let me... Would you guys want to talk to KPFA right now about why you're forming a human chain in the Bank of America?
Sure. Hey, well, we're here calling for an immediate moratorium on foreclosures and evictions, and because the big Wall Street banks got bailed out and we got sold out, so we're here putting an end to these rapacious practices of the Wall Street oligarchs and the political system that they fought and paid for.
And why is civil disobedience this way?
Well, as Dr. King said, you know, the nation doesn't move until it's confronted massively and militantly with a nonviolent civil disobedience. So we're here. You know, as Dr. King pointed out, we've done the reports, we've filed the position papers, we've pleaded with elected officials, and now it's time to take action, nonviolent direct action.
That's Abby Martin.
So that was the voice of one person here.
And Abby Martin is live on the streets of San Francisco. Abby, thanks for joining us there.
Thank you so much.
This morning. The KPFA will have reports throughout the day. Kathleen Carroll, thanks for joining us. We have to wrap up here. You can hear Kathleen Carroll speak at the conference, The Attack on Public Education and Privatization. Steve Zeltzer, who joined us again today, was a major organizer of that event, will be there. Project Censored will be there. Perhaps we'll see you there at The Attack on Public Education and Privatization. Kathleen Carroll, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. And also, OccupyEducation.org is planning major activities March 1st and March 5th with a rally in Sacramento. So this fight against privatization, this fight to protect our right to an education for our children and the future of the people of California is absolutely critical.
That's right.
Is it possible I say just one thing, something short?
We have to wrap up. Go ahead, quickly.
Okay, these privatizers, they're basically siphoning off our tax dollars that should be going to public services. That's the bottom line. They're stealing our tax dollars. They're not starting their own businesses with their own money. They're taking our money
that
should be going to free public education.
That's the voice of attorney Kathleen Carroll. You can hear her this Sunday, January 22nd, at Laney Theater at Laney Community College, 900 Fallon Street. Thanks to Ken Sutherland. Thanks to Abby Martin on the ground in San Francisco. Thanks to Carl Patrick of Occupy Santa Rosa. I'm Mickey Huff in studio with Peter Phillips. Please join us again next week for the Project Centered Show in the Morning. Mick.